Now, the epistle for the Sunday within the octave of Corpus Christi is taken from St. John's first epistle, chapter 3. Dearly beloved, wonder not if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in himself. In this we have known the charity of God, because he hath laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. He that hath the substance of this world, and shall see his brother in need, and shut up his bowels from him, how doth the charity of God abide him? My little children, love not in word and nor in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 14. At that time Jesus spoke to the Pharisees this parable. A certain man made a great supper and invited many. And he sent his servants at the hour of supper to say to them that were invited, that they should come, for now all things are ready. And they began all at once to make excuse. The first said to him, I have bought a farm, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee hold me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to try them. I pray thee hold me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. And the servant returning told these things to the Lord. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to the servant, Go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the feeble and the blind and the lame. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said to the servant, Go out into the highways and the hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. But I say unto you that none of these men that were invited shall taste of my supper. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In this we have known the charity of God, because he hath laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. These are words taken from the epistle of today's Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. There is a legend in the tales of King Arthur that he was crowned a king because one day he pulled his sword out of a stone. And King Arthur was supposed to have counseled his chief men around a round table, but what most people don't know is that that legend actually has a basis in a true Catholic saint's life, a saint who lived in the 12th century named Galgani Gudauti. Galgani, or Galgano, was born in 1148 to a noble family in the region of Siena. And he became a knight, but what was sad is that he was, rather than becoming a good Christian knight known for his chivalry, he became known for his fierce temper, his violence, and his worldly life. One night, however, the Archangel Michael appeared to him in a dream. And he showed Sir Galgano the path which God had placed out for him. Now the knight was surprised, but he was fearless. So he followed Saint Michael down this difficult path. Eventually they stopped before a circular-shaped church, and outside of that church stood the 12 apostles. They greeted the knight, and they told him that it was time for him to put away the ways of a soldier and a knight and to join a religious vocation. Well, when he woke up the next day, he ignored this vision. It wasn't till later, when he was riding along the road, that something else changed his mind. As he went along the road, his horse suddenly reared and he fell like St. Paul from the horse. As he struggled to rise to his feet, he could feel that an invisible hand was lifting him up and once again showing him that path up Mount Sape towards a religious vocation. The voice bid him to stop and look up, and when Galgano at the time, later he becomes Saint Galgano, when he looked up, he saw our Lord, our Lady, and once again the apostles. As he climbed the hill towards them, which was to be a figure of his path towards religious life, the vision started to fade, and so once again he was pulled away by his thoughts of the world, the pleasures of the world, and all the joys that he was receiving in the life of knighthood. He said out loud to himself, I would gladly follow these orders and become a religious knight, but for me to do so would be as easy as splitting rocks with my sword. Then to prove his point, he drew out his weapon, and he struck a nearby rock that was known for its massive girth and its huge strength. But imagine his surprise when his knife, his massive sword, went through that stone like a knife through hot butter. He left the knife in that stone, and to this day, no one has been able to pull that sword out of that stone. But that began his life as a religious. He became a hermit for some time after that, and he used that altar, that stone, as an altar when he eventually became a priest. The local farmers would come up that hill to ask simply for his blessing. And over time, people started to realize that he was quite a holy religious and a very saintly man. Abbots and bishops of all types would climb the hill of that mountain, Sepe, to just talk to Galgano, the now converted religious. And they would always have their discussions around that circular rock that held St. Galgano's sword. That's where the legend of King Arthur and his Knights of the Round Table came. Because when anyone would go to St. Galgano for advice, they would be around that round rock. He lived for many years helping others to lead the path towards God. He helped them by his intercession and his prayers. And he died on December 3rd in 1181. And God continued to show a great care for his soul and for his reputation, for he was canonized just a few years later in 1185. And actually, his canonization process is the first canonization process, or I should say the oldest, that we have history of in the Catholic Church. He was the first one after the martyrs of the early days to have his fellow Catholics come forward and swear through testimony towards miracles that they received from him and from his intercession. And my dear friends, his life is a very good example for us that sometimes it is difficult for us to live which vocation God calls us to. We know that there is one vocation that we all have. There's one calling that God gives us the moment he creates our soul. That vocation is to save our souls, to live our lives knowing, loving, and serving God, so that we might be happy with him forever in heaven. But for all of us, there is a secondary vocation that we have to hear God's call to. For vocation is the word, the Latin word, meaning a calling. And amongst these secondary vocations, we split them up into three categories. There is the religious vocation, in which a man or a woman dedicate their lives to God and to his service. Men as priests or religious brothers, and the women as sisters, or nuns as we call them. There is then the vocation to the married state, in which two people come together to raise a family and lead those souls and each other's soul towards God, by living a good Catholic life and by helping each other to practice virtue. And then finally, there is the single state in which God allows those to live in this world, not tied to a religious life or religious order, nor given the responsibilities of family life, but they live a single life so that they can provide for those who are in need without taking away from either the church or their family. All three are livelihoods that are blessed by God. All three are paths to heaven. But for all of us, there are things that come up in our day-to-day lives that make our own vocation somewhat difficult to follow. There are trials and tribulations. There are sacrifices that we are all called upon. There are certain duties like the education, the instruction, and the rearing of children, which can become difficult for parents at times. There are sacrifices that are asked of the religious, and of course the same of the single. But we can be like Saint Galgano, who at first found it very difficult to follow the religious vocation God had given him. He found it very difficult to put aside his own wants and desires. But through those miraculous visions that he had, and through that piercing of his sword through the stone, he began to realize that he had one path that God wanted him on. And that's very consoling for us, for from time to time, we might find our own vocation very difficult. But when we stop and realize how much effort God put in to helping this one man follow his vocation, to helping this one saint do the right thing and follow the path that he had set out for him, it helps us to realize that if we pray to God, if we offer sacrifice, and if we ask him for help, he can help us in our own vocation as well. And when we speak of vocations to the religious life, that is one that I would like to go into just a little detail on, because we have such a need for it in the world today. There is such a need to help souls of mankind to follow whatever call of the three God has called them to. There's such a need for helping all of us to save our souls, since there is such a war going on against our souls and the spiritual life by many of the things in the world around us. There is, of course, immorality that is rampant, that is a constant drain on our souls and our spiritual faculties. There can also be the fears or the trepidations, the unknown of the future that can make life more difficult. And throughout all these trials, we need good religious, the sisters and the brothers praying for us, offering up their lives of sacrifice, gaining the graces that we need, and then the priests to give us the sacraments, to provide us with those super special means of God's grace in which he left us in the church, and ultimately to offer Mass for ourselves and our intentions. And so as I speak of the three vocations today, I ask you to please remember the vocations to the priesthood and religious life, most especially in your prayers. Ask our Lord to help you to see through the life of Saint Galgano that if he worked that hard to get one saint to join the religious life, ask him to provide so many others with that same grace and that same calling, so that we do not find ourselves in a short number of years with too few priests or too few religious to provide us with the sacraments in our times of need. Whether we are called then to the single state, the married state, or the religious life, we all have that secondary vocation which God expects us to use to serve him well. And today, ask Saint Galgano to help you to live that vocation well. As Saint John wrote in his epistle today, we ought to lay down our lives for our brethren. Now, some of us, that might mean absolutely to lay down our lives as our Lord and the martyrs did. But for all of us, it means to give of ourselves what is required to know, love, and serve God each day and to love our neighbor as ourself. Even sometimes if that's something as simple as an act of charity, a kind word, a word said to somebody who is struggling, or a kind deed done for them. That is how we will lay down our lives for our brethren. That's how we will live the vocation that we're called to. And that's why St. John said to love not in word nor in tongue, meaning don't just love by saying to somebody, I love you, but actually show it by your deeds and in truth. Show it by living your lives, being a good example to them, and following your vocation well. If we persevere in this and living our vocations to the best of our ability, our Lord will reward us just as he rewarded Saint Galgano. He will help us on the path to heaven to persevere regardless of what comes up in our lives. And as we persevere in trying to live our vocations to the best we can, look to our Blessed Mother, who is, of course, the greatest example. She actually, through the blessings of her Son, was able to lead all three vocations throughout her life. When she was young, before her time of bringing our Lord into the world, she lived in the temple. She ceaselessly prayed to God and begged Him to send the Redeemer into the world. And that way she lived the life of a religious. Then, when she and Saint Joseph helped our Lord through his 30 years on earth, she led the life of a wife and mother, providing for the Holy Family in every way that a wife and mother needs to provide. And then after our Lord ascended into heaven, when she no longer had he or Saint Joseph with her, she was able to experience the life of a single state. And so no matter where you find yourself, ask our Blessed Mother to help you to live your vocation as well as she did when it was called upon her. And to do this during your daily rosary will be a grace that will be most beneficial to you, to your loved ones, and it will be the way in which you gain possession of heaven for all eternity. May Almighty God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.